The DL debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station, Letterkenny.
Check this. Welcome one and all to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Football is back and back with a bang.
Away we go. Donegal are playing from left to right, and the first exchange and the first battle has been won by Michael Langan. Wins a free just inside the Tyrone half. He's going to go long and diagonal looking for Murphy. Murphy picks it up. Here's the chance of the first score of the new league campaign, and Michael Murphy sends it over the bar and gets the white flag raised. 14 seconds on the clock, and Donegal up and running. Martin McHugh.
Yes, indeed. That's the main man, Murphy, flying. Great to see. Deservedly man of the match, of course, was Oisin Kelly on commentary there on Saturday evening. What a great start from him and Donegal. The long Ulster final hangover has finally been put to bed. Great to see footballers back in, and a great result, as I say, in Healy Park. Joining me to discuss this later on the show will be two of the greats of the game. We're going to do, first of all, Tyrone and Donegal with Peter Kenevan, and we're going to do a roundup of all the GAA's action with Martin McHugh, two absolute legends of the game, of course, top pundits now. We're also going to be joined by Micheál Nochtain, the new LGFA president, for his views on the game and what is his plans for the four-year tenure. And just a word on our hurlers. You know, a brilliant result last week against Roscommon in Letterkenny. They went away to Kildare. Now, Kildare, of course, Christy Ring champions, and a real step up. A real sobering moment for them, you know, 429 to 13 points. So listen, those 2 points there to be got, they didn't get them. They've got off to 1-1, and now they're at home again this week in what's a repeat of the Nicky Rackard final, which they brilliantly won last season against Mayo. So that's in O'Donnell Park at 2 o'clock. So, you know, win that game and go a long way to keeping them in Division 2B, something that Donegal's only managed once in their history. So as I say, we turn our attention now to the football and to my first guest, Peter Kenevan.
Brent, how are you?
Peter, how are you? Peter, just trying to analyse this game, and I don't want to go in any way at all on Tyrone because of the short lead-in to this game. You know, new management coming in, looking to get the grips with players and bring in new players and put their style of system. There was hardly time for, you know, them to get fit, never mind put a style of system in place. So analysing the game, Peter, what did you read into it from Saturday evening?
Well, you're absolutely right in what you're saying about the build-up. I was hopeful of a decent performance. I wasn't expecting a win for the reasons that you have mentioned, but I wanted to see improvement, and I wanted to see an honest performance, and I think we got that. The boys themselves will be disappointed that they didn't win, but the fact of the matter is Donegal have been playing under a settled management now for a number of years. Really, it's a settled panel. Even through lockdown, Declan Bonner, Stephen Rochford, they knew exactly who their panel was. Probably they have a brave idea who their first 15 is, whereas Tyrone, we're having trials whenever the second lockdown came, and Fergal and Brian didn't even have a settled panel to work with. So they were only in the job. So it was difficult for them. So if you take all that into consideration, the fact that Tyrone ran Donegal pretty close, and if they hadn't got a man sent off, I would say it would have been even closer coming in the home straight. But there's no doubt in that Donegal are a wee bit ahead in terms of development. And the other big factor, Brendan, like so many other times before, when we comment on Donegal, to have a fabulous leader in Michael Murphy. And when Donegal need him more often than not, he steps up. And again, he was massive for them, I thought, over the weekend.
Just looking, Peter, that says a lot around what we're saying here. If you look at the cohesion of Donegal at different stages in the game, particularly when they went 3 points ahead in the first half, and at stages in the second half, just as you're saying, there was that bit of togetherness around the team and around the focus of the team, and there were certain go-to players that were kind of running it. And for Tyrone, you didn't see that. You know, there seemed to be sparks of different players, and particularly, obviously, Donaghy's performance was just remarkable. You know, a man in his debut. I don't know, yeah. Peter, what your own debut was like, but I mean, that's one of the greatest I've seen. So he is a shining light, I suppose, coming off the back of that as well, Peter. But a lot of work to be done for Fergal and Brian, and it's unfair on them now because there is no time for this. You know, the season's just going to roll, and that's it.
Well, they have at least three games left to prepare for Cavan, and those games will be invaluable. But there's nothing will bring that team on as much as that game on Saturday night. It was played at a great pace. Both teams went at it, unusually for Throne and Donegal, especially in the first half. It was really man-to-man, and there was plenty of scoring opportunities. Throne will be disappointed with their return. They had more shots than Donegal, yet Donegal were much more efficient in front of the sticks. And was that a case of maybe shot selection in some cases? Were they under pressure when they were shooting? And I know there's two or three, and a couple of examples were highlighted on the Sunday game last night, were thrown under no pressure, didn't kick it over the bar. So I think Fergal and Brian will know that they've a bit of work to do in that regard. But there's a lot to be taken out of it. Donegal are up there as, you know, one of the top three or four teams in the country. So I wouldn't be too disappointed. Usual traits from a Throne point of view is that we didn't crack the Donegal kick out. Sean Patton again was brilliant himself, but he was able to find virtually every kick out. He was able to find somebody, and Donegal won far more possession on their own kick out than Throne did. So again, if you're going to win big matches, you've got to get a better return on the opposition's kickouts, and it's not as if Throne were giving them the kickouts for most of the game. When it was 15 aside, Throne were pushing up. Again, you have to credit Donegal for the work that they have done in that regard. And in Patton, they have a brilliant kicker of the ball, but he had a lot of options out the field, and Donegal know that system very well.
Yeah, it's funny, Peter, there's two things in that there you're highlighting. I think one of the best things Donegal are good at, and they'll match anybody in the country, is their ability to kick points. Their front eight, really, are all very comfortable striking the ball, and there seem to be a bit of a snatch from a lot of the Throne guys forward. Maybe some of them were hit too early or off balance. It just seemed like one of those games where they were trying to force it then. Of course, was it eight wides in the second half? Donegal had none. And that was a very telling feature. And you're right, the other good thing that Donegal has is the armoury of Patton's kickouts. Like, very, very, that's two of the best things they do. Have you ever seen an opposition game, Morgan? Who else but Morgan was up the pitch to catch? I've never seen that in the GAA match.
Well, it was a good call, I felt, by Throne, because at that stage they were chasing the game, Brennan. If he hadn't pushed up, which he didn't for the start of the second half, it was easy for Patton. The movement and the Donegal defenders was good, so invariably the spare man was found for all of his kickouts. So Throne had no other choice. They had to chase the game, and I think Morgan moving up was a good, and it gave Patton something else to think about. I think it fazed him maybe for one or two, but then after that he got the ball moving again, and they were able to secure their own kickouts. So I think Rory Began actually did it yesterday as well for Monaghan. Again, closing stages of the game, when they were chasing it, he came up to play like a centre half back. So if the ball came over the top of the midfielder or midfield, he was there to secure it. So it's a high press. It's a bit of a gamble, but I think it's a gamble, especially when you're chasing the game. It's a gamble that's definitely well worth taking.
Yeah, of course, because you say O'Neill's red card pivotal, but just allowed Donegal, maybe that looks like to control the game that bit more, which is another factor, I suppose, went against Tyrone. Peter, just a word on Donaghy. What age is this guy?
He was 2016. He was under 21. So I think he's only about 24 now. Yeah. I can be corrected on that, yeah. But I think he's in around 23, 24. We had him at under 21, Bren, and he was probably the best trainer that we had. He takes his football really seriously, very focused individual. He had a year last year with his club, Dungannon, that was just out of this world. I'd say you've probably seen the latter stages, but first round game, second round against Arbo, he was doing that outside of the boot from 40 metres. He was doing that on a consistent basis. That wasn't a one-off that you seen on Saturday night. So he's really developed. The fact that Dungannon winning the championship, I think, has increased his confidence big time. And for a lad, you know what it's like, making your debut, coming on in a top game, and to produce a performance like that, speaks volumes for him. So that's, without a doubt, that's one of the bright lights that has come out of this game from a Throne perspective.
Yeah, and just on that 2015, Peter, you obviously won All-Ireland, a memorable year with under-21s, with yourself and Fergal and Brian as the management team. You opted out of the seniors this year. It didn't suit you?
No. That's right.
Simple as that. I think just the clamour and throne was for this new wave to come in. Obviously, total respect to Mickey, and everybody was waiting for him to, when that time would be up. But I think a lot of people were hoping you would be part of that setup, Peter. But other things are in play, and I suppose the time and commitment is massive.
There's enough good men in there. You've Joe McMahon and Collie Holmes. Peter Donnelly, all back there. There's a lot of men in there. Fergal doesn't need another, or Brian doesn't need another voice. Now you get in there a year. but look, it's going to take them men just time to settle. Again, there'd be some elements of Throne support would be demanding success right away. Things just don't happen like that. But I would be happy that we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, Peter, just on that, you talked about the players you mentioned there. Just from what it's been, Tyrone have become a mainstay each year. They're in for the All-Ireland. They're usually not outside the three or four in the country. A lot of management now, you look at, obviously, Fermanagh, Ricey and a few Tyrone lads involved. Then, of course, Mickey has gone to Louth. And, of course, him and Enda, two of your club mates have locked horns. There's some professors of the GAA now bringing their wisdom all over the country. That was a very interesting one. I mean, you must have had a smile on your face when you seen that fixture come up.
Yeah, there's a great photograph in the Irish News today, funny enough, of the two boys after the game. But I didn't see any footage of it. I know RTE didn't have any footage last night, which I was surprised at. I thought there would have been some cameras at the game. But by all accounts, it was a big finish by Antrim. Louth were leading going into the closing stages. And Antrim maybe kicked three unanswered points at the very death. So it's one up to McGinley over Hart. But it's long runs of Fox and... I would imagine that the two teams could well, meet again in the league final if both finish top of their group. So, the exact same that I said about Fergal and Brian, you can say about the two boys. They've had very little time to get working with these teams. And from Mickey's point of view, they were competitive. They finished the game poorly. Maybe fitness is a factor, but sure, they haven't really got a chance to get working with them yet. So. If it is, he'll soon identify it. And again, I'll be amazed if there's not progress in that Louth setup over the coming months.
Oh, definitely. Mickey put in the quote of don't be expecting any miracles. And you're right, Peter. Just with everything coming thick and fast now, it's all about just trying to get that base, I think, in. And for a new management team, very, very difficult. Cal McShean, he played 20 minutes in the friendly, I think, there, Peter. Is he close to coming back?
Well, obviously not, because if he was close to coming back, Bren, he definitely would have been on the bench. I would have thought on Saturday. So there's a bit to go. I'd be surprised when he wouldn't fit to take his place on the bench on Saturday night. I'd be surprised if he makes it this weekend. So. It was a serious enough injury that he's had. There was complications with it. During his rehab, so I know that he's training hard and he's trying to get back, but there's one thing, being physically fit, and again, as you know well, there's match fitness. And he's a massive loss to Throne. There's no doubt about it, but I think the management will be careful not to rush him back. you don't want to get him back in and have another setback at this stage. So I would imagine from Cahill's point of view, maybe the latter stages of the league would be a target, and hoping that he'd be an option come championship.
Yeah, good stuff. And just finally, Peter, I'm just looking at the new rule there. How many penalties would you gain back in the day with boys hauling you down as you were going through on goal? What do you think of this new rule in for the penalty and a scoring position from the semicircle or inside the 20?
Yeah, look, I understand it and I get it. And there's various stages in a game where it's too easy for defenders when they're outside just to pull a forward down and to deny a goal scoring opportunity. So I get it. I understand it. I would like to see it over the next coming weeks with the National League, just before I pass comment on it, because I wouldn't have fallen from the mark from the kickouts, to be honest, at the start. But when I've seen it in action and when I've seen it working, I can see the benefits of it. The advantage one has me thrown altogether. Mm. It's just bizarre. But what we should be doing in our game at the minute is making the life of the referee easier, not more difficult. Mm. And so there's even the issue of timekeeping. Surely that can be taken out of his hands. He's enough to worry about and to focus on. The life of a referee, Brandon, is not getting any easier.
Yeah, I see there was a word put out there that you're struggling for refs. Maybe with all these games that are going to come, you're going to take up the whistle and help out now in Tyrone.
Well, going on Saturday night, there's no shortage of referees in Donegal.
very good.
There's a number of them playing very well at the minute, so Donegal's not going to be stuck for one or two, Brent.
No worries, Peter. Listen, thanks so much. And a bit like the management teams, I think we have to give refs a bit of time to bed in with this and not be too overcritical. I see everybody analysing new rules. Everybody has to get used to these things. I think cynicism is something that's crept in, Peter, with all the tactics. And certainly if a guy has a goal-scoring opportunity and is pulled down, I think that has to be addressed. It can be the winning and losing of many's a big game. So I think it's a positive one. But as you say, it'll take a bit of time to bed in. So we'll see how that goes. Great to get the views of Peter Canavan there. And now I'm joined by another great of the game, now a top pundit covering our Gaelic football matches. It is Donegal legend Martin McHugh. Martin, how are you, sir?
Very good, Brendan. I suppose happy enough after the weekend. It's always good to start with a victory.
Yeah. This I was just looking at the spectre of Tyrone and Donegal, this rivalry, Martin, particularly this last 10 years. And, the new management, the game being back. Peter Canavan was making a case for Tyrone's new management and giving a bit of time to bed in on that, and I can see his point of view, but it is basically the same players, that are nip and tuck. And for me on Saturday evening, Donegal seemed to be much more cohesive as a team and really controlled the game. I could never see them losing that match.
Yeah, well, the first half especially was a great half of football. It was 10 points all at half time, and it was a very enjoyable, especially for a neutral. It was a very, very enjoyable match, suppose, we look at it, it's new management, and it will take a while, especially when they hadn't much time to get them together beforehand and everything else. And but they would know them from their time involved in the under 20-21 squad and that there. I suppose the big move they made is they changed the captain, from tip to captain off Matty Donnelly and give it to Patrick Hamsey. That was, different. I suppose every management team wants to, put down a market, whatever, do things their way and everything else. So I think that looking at it, then they've put Peter Hart back to play centre half back, where a lot of people felt that maybe that's the place that we should play. And I heard he played very well against Down in the Challenge game. So it'll take a while. It'll take a while exactly for them to settle in. And, Conor McKenna, the more games he gets under his belt and everything else, if he gets his shooting boot sorted out, he'll be a big, big threat going forward. So, yeah, from a Tyrone point of view, it is the same, near enough the same bunch of players. There's a lot of that under 21 squad that won the All-Ireland that they have, so they would know them well. So, yeah, from that point of view, to go up to Omagh and win, I think it's a long time since Donegal actually won the league match in Omagh, Brendan. So I just think from that point of view, I think it's a sweet victory and a good victory, and there's no harm to get one over your rivals.
I suppose it is the biggest rivalry, man. I know people look to like Dublin Mayo, but it's not really a rivalry if one team keeps winning. Now, it has been nip and tuck with Donegal and Tyrone, but really that's four in a row now Donegal have won between league and championship. And just looking particularly around your go-to players, you look obviously like Michael and and Ryan McHugh, you know, Hugh McFadden, you know, even Langan's coming of age. Just look at throwing around the middle and who's going to dictate the play for them. I mean, obviously, Colm Kavanagh would have been a big player in the middle, holding the centre and breaking forward. They just don't seem, when the chips is down, to maybe have someone to particularly set up the game. And I know McShane's to come back, and there's a lot of hope for McKenna. And Donaghy was, obviously, what a debut, was brilliant. But I'm just looking at leaders, maybe around, you know, half-back, midfield, half-forward. They don't maybe seem to have those players that we would have.
Yeah, well, I think around the middle of the field especially, I think it's been a problem for them. And, you know, Colm, as you said, Colm Kavanagh was a big player for them and probably underrated footballer. But Mickey Hart stuck by him and was proven right that Colm Kavanagh, I remember talking to Tyrone people when he went in first, and they were saying that maybe he's not good enough, he's only in there because he's Shan's brother and everything else. But that was completely wrong, because Colm Kavanagh proved to be a very, very effective player in the middle of the field, and even when he was playing sweeper back and covering and getting the middle of the field. So, yeah, they're struggling in the middle of the field, you know, but they're lucky enough with Niall Morgan, Brendan, that they're able to, you know, the kickouts especially, that he's able to vary them and get them away in that there. But you look at it, and, you know, chatting to our own people afterwards, they were on about the middle of the field, and they were saying maybe Richie Donnelly has been the best club footballer in the middle of the field, and will they use him in the middle of the field or not? I think he played against Fermanagh in a challenge game and played well. They have big Brian Kennedy there as well in that area. They played the last day. So it's an area that they're going to have to look at, because they've always funny struggled in the middle of the field, and they're trying to bypass it and everything else from that point of view. So would they go with the likes of Matty Donnelly in the middle of the field? So yeah, you're right. That's an area that Donegal definitely have had the upper hand, and you know, we would always say maybe that in Donegal we never had really that strong a midfield either, ever. So, you know, from that point of view, and that's why maybe particularly, you know, Tyrone might struggle when they come up against the Kerrys or the Dublins, because of their midfield, you know.
Yeah, and Martin, finally, we've got rid of this Ulster final hangover. Just looking how Donegal performed, and there's one thing we have, Martin, our top seven, even eight players, very, very comfortable at putting the ball over the bar. You know, you've seen Tyrone in the second half, particularly in the second half, it was a 7-8 wide, snatching at shots. It just looked like the forward line, there's so much talent in there, Martin. It's probably the best I've seen it. And just carrying that from how I look back at the Cavan game, you know, it was a completely different side, it looked like. Now, Donegal had played like that in the Ulster final. They won all ends up. So were we just putting that off as one of those days, Martin? Or is it something that we should be worried about going into this season, particularly when it gets to the business end?
Yeah, it's exactly it. You know, you have to show total respect, Brendan, to every team you play, and you've got to go out and do a job to do. And I just felt that maybe from a Donegal point of view, that they took the eye off the ball. They were thinking of Dublin. There was so much talk about Dublin. Everybody was on about Donegal playing Dublin. And that's total disrespect to Cavan, where they were at. And you know, the games that they had won and everything else. And then, you know, on the day when things start going wrong, you picked up a couple of injuries at training the week before and everything else, and things go wrong. But you still, you know, that's the one thing you have, Donegal have to get, is get mentally strong, that you're able to get over that hurdle. It doesn't matter what it is, because that's the first time, Brendan, that I remember in a good while that Donegal have been beaten by a team that they were supposed to beat. Normally we did in the past beat teams supposed to beat. Now we did the hard work by beating our man, beating Tyrone, and then getting caught against Cavan. So it's disappointing now at that stage. You know, we've got caught at that stage this last couple of years. We've been beaten, you know, Mayo beat us down in Mayo. Remember, we should have, I thought, beat Kerry and Croke Park. And then, you know, then we were beaten by Tyrone, remember, in a semi-final or quarter-final, whatever it was, in Balbuffet. So that's the one that we just have to get over. And I think, you know, it's all about, you know, having attitude right and mentally prepared to get out and just do the job and move on and be ready. But we didn't go that day and do the job. And we were expecting it to happen. We were there at the game and you were expecting this was going to happen. The next thing, bang, the goal. You still thought before the goal went in you were going to get a draw and get extra time or something. But that didn't happen. And, you know, it was disappointing, and it's one that got away on us, you know. Suppose we look at maybe the 2014 All-Ireland final as well. They're games that, you know, they're big games that get away on us. So I think what you said exactly, we've got, you know, looking at the forward line at the minute, any of them can kick a ball over the bar. Even the boys that came off the bench were very strong, playing as a unit together and everything else, which does, you know, gives us the option of releasing Michael Murphy to move out the field and do the job out there with the quality of players inside. So yeah, it's exciting times. Now Tyrone's forward line, if they could start kicking the ball over the bar and paper, not bad either, when they get young Canavan in there as well, and maybe Mark Bradley from the start.
Mm. And funny you mentioned 2014 there, Martin. You remember all the talk of Dublin pre that, and we had to play Armagh. We just about got over Armagh and a bit like that. And I remember the time I took a bit of flack, because I was at a press night and they asked me about playing Dublin. And I said, listen, well, it's disrespectful. First day, I remember Eamon McGee had a cut at me as a game. And I was asked a question. What me and him had to have a discussion about that one. But again, same thing. We just about got across the line against Armagh. You're right. You have to have a total focus now. And hats off to Kevin. But we'll put that one to bed. And of course, Kevin going down to Fermanagh. We'll mention them in a minute. Maybe Declan Bonner had one eye on that. There is a game he would have had one eye on, which would have been Monaghan and Armagh. Armagh's returned to Division 1 of the National Football League after a long absence. And of course, it was played at Brewster Park because the Bantley was being a bold boy at Monaghan back training early. And a huge result for Kieran McGinney there in his first game back, Martin.
Yeah, it was a big result for Armagh. You know, the great start they got and everything else, apparently. And looked like at that stage they were going on to won the game easily enough. And I suppose from a Monaghan point of view, they took the big guns off the bench. They played young. They had four young lads in the forward line that they started. And Mulligan and Woods were very, very impressed. It'll be interesting just to see them next weekend, Brendan, when they played Donegal. But I thought they were very, very, the two of them especially were very, very impressive. Jones in the corner as well. You know, you think he finished the goal as well, very well. So they're definitely taking in new players or looking at new players what they have. And then they took the old men off the bench or the experienced players, and it probably was supposed to improve them, but maybe it worked out wrong on them in the way that, you know. But listen, I thought Kieran Brannigan had a bad day at the office himself, you know, the referee. And, you know, he's a good referee, but just that I thought definitely the it was a penalty and a black card, and that was a big call in the game, how he didn't get it right. Now, what I couldn't understand is he went in and asked the umpires. Maybe these umpires have too big a say. You know, we look at it from the point of view. Maybe the referee's taking the hand away. I'd have gone to ask the umpires to have a chat. But look, everybody watching it and everybody would say whoever was at the game and everyone else felt it was. So, you know, that wee call went against Monaghan. But Armagh are impressive. And they're going to be, you know, Armagh Tyrone game next weekend. It'll be a game I'd love to see and go to see. Because Armagh have no fear of Tyrone. I think it's a local derby thing and everything else. And I was just saying to somebody during the week, if it works out that Donegal will say beat Down and then get over Derry, we'll say if that happens and then Tyrone get over Cavan, if it does happen, and we'll say Monaghan and Armagh in the other semi-final. One team, I think Monaghan might be wanting to play Donegal and the other team would rather play Tyrone.
Right.
So Armagh have no fear of Tyrone. They love playing them. So that'll be a big battle. The Tyrone-Armagh game is going to be a big battle. And the fact that Cal McShane wasn't togged out the last day, so you know they're not going to have much time to get him ready, and you know he'll make a big difference to them if they do get him back. But from Monaghan's point of view, I suppose they might be happy enough the fact they played these young lads and everything else and got game time under their belt and everything else. But they could meet in the championship. The chances are high that they will meet in the championship, and it'll be a dinger of a match.
I suppose even for Monaghan, they're certainly obviously per season. They just about have stayed in Division 1 the last couple of seasons, and I think from a Monaghan perspective, you're wondering about new talent coming through. You know, this season again, if they end up in that relegation, it's going to be, they're like looking at Galway and Roscommon already. They could be down playing. Whether they hang in there or not, there is, you know, a certainly they need to push on this year and try and get back to where they were. At the minute, Donegal and Tyrone do seem a good step ahead. For a good few years, it kind of was a ding-dong between the three of them. Monaghan seemed to have dropped back that small bit, and that's where, I suppose, with the Bantleys coming in to try and rejuvenate them.
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to build it up again, and that's what they're going to have to do is get these young fellas and give them game time. And even you go to the second division, we look at Mayo, it's no harm. Maybe it takes a wee bit of pressure off if they do go to, from their point of view, go to the second division. But, you know, we look at, Monaghan were going really well. They went to Ballyshannon last year. And I was just saying, Conor McCarthy wasn't likely to be nearly player of the year until they landed in Ballyshannon, and Donegal beat them. And then, of course, the lockdown came after that and they never really got back. And then the same as Donegal, they were, what were they, 9 points up against Cavan and they end up losing the match after extra time or whatever. But, you know, so it just changes the whole thing. And, you know, the way you look at it and everything else. And so from Monaghan's point of view, they're rebuilding, definitely. You know, they have a good goalkeeper. They'll probably have to look for about a full-back, try to get a full-back somewhere from their own point of view. And then, you know, these young lads in the forward line are good. Armagh are definitely a step away ahead of them. The two O'Neills look to be better footballers even this year. So Armagh's going to be the big team to see. You're right, probably we look at it, you have Tyrone and Donegal, and then you have Armagh probably, and Derry's there knocking the door at the minute too. You feel, but I think that looking at Armagh, it's a big year for Kieran McGinney and Armagh. And he's taking in Kieran Donnelly and everything else, and you know, to maybe coach the forwards and work on the forwards and everything else. So yeah, big. I think it's a big year, as you said, for Monaghan. You know, they need to get over that first round against the Fermanagh game, be a big game, but they need to get over that and get into an Ulster semi final or whatever, where Where from looking at it from Armagh's point of view, yeah, it's a massive year for them.
Yeah, it's positive from an Ulster point of view. I suppose Martin has four teams in Division 1. It really shows the strength and depth there. You know, and then you have other teams that will have a cut at you, and one that's going to have a cut at us is Down. Obviously, Mayo going down, All-Ireland finalists. You know, Mayo will have the ability. I know they can have iffy league performances no more than last year. But I think Down went down and took them on a shootout, basically, Martin, which I wouldn't mind us playing this. And you have to say fair play to them for doing that. But certainly, with the power that Mayo have, there's very few teams can compete with them. And 220 to 111, another game, I suppose, that Declan Bonner was going to have an eye on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to look at it and look at the videos and everything else. I suppose the disappointing thing from Down's point of view is that the Johnsons, he's known of the three Johnsons, and like they were very, very impressive. Like I was at the matches last year, the Ulster Championship games, and they were against Cavan that day. Like they were the men in the first half, especially. You know, Jerome Johnson was brilliant. He got 4 or 5 points in play. He's gone from the panel. Then you had Ryan Johnson, who came on a sub and was very good. And then you had the young lad who seems to be going to be concentrating on the under-20 team. So that's the disappointing thing with Down. If they have every player available to them, they have a lot of talent and everything else. So, listen, in Newry, in the Championship game, is going to be a tough game up there in Newry and everything else. But they have to forget about the Mayo game from Down's point of view and look forward now to the other matches. And I think it's Meath and Westmeath they play now and that. So they're still good enough to get results there. And it's important for them after coming up to stay in the division if they can.
That was a real ding-dong match, Meath and Westmeath, the derby as well. Just going across to Fermanagh there, they had a tough season last season, Martin. Lost a very couple of close games. Racy's obviously in there playing Cavan. You know, he went down. A lot of people fancy Cavan for that. But every team needed a talisman, and nobody better than Sean Quigley with 9 points. And a very important victory for Fermanagh that after that tough relegation. Listen, Cavan's, of course, last day relegation as well. Both them teams wanting to bounce back, but Fermanagh edging it 15 points to 14.
Yeah, it's a great result. It's probably the result of the weekend, considering Cavan are Ulster champions. You expect them to be playing with a bit of confidence first day out, and you would expect them with the two Corrigans gone from the panel and the two Joneses gone from the panel, and then, you know, the Cullens are out of the county, not in the panel, and the panel at the minute either. I mean, Fermanagh's a small county. You take six, and then they had a couple of players injured. I mean, you're talking about eight of their starting team missing. So it was a great result for Fermanagh. You can see the team spirit that was there and everything else watching the game. So it was a great result for Ricey. Disappointing, very disappointing from Cavan, you know, from the point of view of being Ulster champions and everything else. They'll be disappointed. Maybe they got a wee bit carried away with winning Ulster and everything else. It's all about going down there and doing that job. So they play now Longford at home, and you still expect them to beat Longford, and then it'll come down to maybe them and Derry. Derry play Fermanagh at home next week. That'll be a nice tasty game of Rory Galler managing Derry now, and maybe Quigley won't be that happy. Yeah. He'd want to prove a point to Rory Galler. Yeah. So be a game to look forward to.
Yeah, just talking about Derry, Rory, obviously you know Rory well. You talk about results of the weekend. I mean, that you'd have to say away from home. Martin, we all knew Derry were going to be hard to break down, but posting the score that they did, they really destroyed Longford, and that must bode well for them. Of course, Conor Glass back in the mix as well. Fantastic to see. You know, Derry need everything they have at their disposal now, so great to have him back.
Yeah, I suppose we look at Conor Glass, you know, taking Conor McKenna, who's a fabulous footballer, but there was a lot of hype with Conor McKenna when he came back, and there was a lot of talk about it, and you know, that there puts a lot of pressure on him and everything else playing with one of the top teams. Conor Glass came back and quietly came back and got into it, and we know how good he was. We saw him beating our minor team before he went away in an exhibition in the middle of the field, so he's a good player. He scored 2 points in the middle of the field the last day. Definitely he'll be improving every match. And Derry, as we talked about with Tyrone, struggle in the middle of the field, and this boy is going to, I mean, they didn't really have a midfield up till he's come back. And he's probably the best midfielder they've had since Fergal Doherty played. I know he would have played against Ubrin back in the time, but I think that looking at it, he is a big plus to him because they needed a midfielder, and he gives them a massive presence in that area.
Yeah. And just the master and the student, I was just laughing with Peter, of course, his two club mates, and that. These Tyrone boys are everywhere now, Martin. they're everywhere but Tyrone. I suppose you can only have the two in charge. And after Hart's time there, I think there was some managers looking for that position, and it's changed obviously with Logan and Duher coming in. But a late charge from Antrim, taking all the points, and Mickey Hart has come out and says don't be expecting miracles. Of course, Louth gone down from Division 3 last year, and Antrim very unlucky not to go up. They won 4 games, drew 1 and lost 1. So McGinley coming out on top, and it must have given him a smile, I think, when that fixture came up.
Yeah, it would have, definitely at the end of the game. We always know here that the amount of talent this and Antrim. I remember when we won the All-Ireland 92, we played Antrim in the following year in the first championship game in Balbuffet, and we beat them something like 12-7, 12-8. Antrim always had talent, always played, but getting them together and everything else. So definitely we know that Stephen O'Neill's a brilliant coach and will be brilliant coaching forwards and everything else, and that'll make a big difference to them. And it'll give them confidence having All-Ireland winners going in there, going in to coach them and everything else. So this is the lift they needed. I know Enda McGinley has his wife is one of the McCanns of Antrim, so there's a connection there. So I think there's going to be a big lift, and it's a big victory for them, you know, to go down and beat Mickey Hart and his and Dundalk in the first game. So yeah, it's great for Antrim, and you know, there's been a great week for them. They won they're a big one against Clare in the hurling, and then their footballers are out and won. So there's a lot of talent. They'll tell you in Louth as well the same thing. There's a lot of talent and players that left the squad have come back again under Mickey Hart. So it's going to take a while and everything else, but definitely I think you'll see a big improvement in Louth, and you'll see a big improvement in Antrim, definitely.
Brilliant, Martin. It's coming thick and fast, and if you want to hear from Martin McHugh, you'll hear from him Saturday evening in McCool Park as our footballers take on Monaghan. Martin, thank you so much for joining us on the DL Debate.
Thanks, Brendan.
And now in the show, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the Ladies Gaelic Football Association President. It is Micheál Nocton. How are you today, sir?
Good evening, Brendan, and good evening to your listeners. Doing fine. Thank you very much.
Good man, Micheál. I'm tempted to call you one of our own. You kind of are a Donegal man now. You half and half, or have we claimed you?
Well, actually, Brendan, you're right. I'm longer up in Donegal, believe it or not, than I was down home. I mean, I came to Donegal in '94, believe it or not, to Bundoran. I started with the Mackinifs and the hotel business there in Bundoran. So I'm in Donegal since. So I'm longer up here than I had been down home.
Yes, yeah. And we're lucky to get you, Micheál. Micheál, just your journey there. I was looking, you know, from your, obviously you come up as a working in the hotel business. You got involved with Four Masters first, taking them to championships, then get involved, obviously, with Donegal, taking them up the divisions, winning in All Ireland. You were involved, you know, in Ulster. You were the Ulster president previous to this, Micheál. It's been some journey and some life in the ladies' game.
Yes, Brendan, you're right. I mean, you know, I had a huge, basically, involvement. And, you know, as I said to you, I came to Donegal in '94, and basically I worked in the Great Northern Hotel in Bundoran, and that basically I met with an Iport there, and we ended up good friends, and still very good friends today, Hugh Devaney, that basically got me involved. Hugh was involved with the Four Masters Club in Donegal Town, and basically he wanted to help with underage training, so that's how it happened. So basically I got involved with the underage there in Donegal Town, basically, God, what year it was originally, but I know basically we won a number of underages, but basically probably the biggest one in Four Masters was 2006 when we won our first senior county title, and then we got back-to-back in 2007, and basically that was a huge, huge achievement for the club at the time, and, you know, it basically gave me the appetite and basically, you know, the knowledge of ladies football and the amount of girls in the county, because you were playing them at club level, so you knew the talent that was in the county at the time and that. So then basically in 2009, I came in as seniors, that mean, and as you rightly said, 2010 was a huge year for me in ladies football. That mean, you know, won the National Division 2 League, and that mean, you know, Donegal Intermediate Ulster Champions, and then went on and won the All-Ireland in 2010. So it was huge, and I think basically was a start of putting, you know, ladies football on the map in Donegal, and, you know, the crowds that came out for us on the homecoming on the Monday night, you know, the girls always would have talked about it. I mean, it was a huge, huge, you know, basically stepping stone for ladies football in Donegal, and, you know, we had some brilliant days, and it's probably the best days in my life I've been involved in ladies football. And then basically I probably got into the administration side of it, as you rightly said, and got involved in Ulster and becoming Ulster president, and also of course I held the chairman of Donegal County Board for a number of years as well, as also chairman of the Four Masters Club in ladies as well. So a huge, huge amount of involvement, but look, I mean, you know, the enjoyment that I got out of it, like, I mean, I'm glad to give it back, and, you know, becoming president of the National Association is just something I never dreamt of, and, you know, at times I have to pinch myself to realise that it has happened, and, you know, to say I'm honoured would be an understatement.
Yeah, certainly, and 60% of the vote, Micheál, certainly anybody who's ever met you and seen your love of the game and what you've put into it and the history that was coming behind you, plus your organisational skills as well, Micheál, it all led into, you know, that was a huge vote and a huge boost in vote of confidence for you. It must have been a nice feeling to come in that percentage.
Yes, Brendan, you know, I was overwhelmed because, you know, as you rightly said, I came to Donegal. I'd be originally a Sligo man, and basically, you know, that Sligo ran a candidate as well in Connacht, I mean, and, you know, that was an area I was open to get a big share of my vote on at the time, I mean, and basically then we had Dominic Leach, then Wicklow as well, that ran for the position. But look, I mean, it was a huge vote, and, you know, one that I was really proud of, and again, you know, it gives me great confidence to lead the post, and I know I have the support of the people behind me, and that's very important. But look, I mean, you know, my point is that, you know, you don't forget where you come from. You know, you basically, you keep it on the ground level. Basically, you know, you deal with the people. I mean, you know, and you respect them, because, you know, it costs something to carry respect, and you give people respect. You give them time. You let them have their say, and, you know, basically together, you know, the association is bigger than Micheál Nyacht, and, I mean, you know, it's about all the people that work in the clubs, the grassroots of our association, and they're the people that made our association to today, and I rightly respect that. And, you know, I came basically from the grassroots, and I worked all the way up, and I know basically the work that goes on behind the scenes in clubs and basically with managing teams. I mean, and, you know, these people, you know, have to get great respect and great credit, because, you know, without them our association would not be what it is today.
Yeah, and Neil, you just mentioned there the huge growth in the ladies' game. You know, it's the fastest growing game in our country at the minute. Participation, teams has gone up, there's different levels happening everywhere. I mean, 2019 we had about 56,000 at the Ladies All-Ireland Final, so it's really progressive, Neil. It's an exciting time as well for you to be coming in on this, because, you know, Lidl sponsorship, you know, there's a big push around the whole country, and there's real excitement about the game.
Yes, Brendan, you want to, you know, I'm coming in at a great time for our association, and you're rightly. Unfortunately, you know, everybody knows 2020 had been a very disappointing year for the association and for everybody involved, and not even without football, but for families in general. Nobody's seen COVID and you know, the effect that it has on people. I mean, but, I mean, you rightly said, you know, in 2019, you know, we had the largest crowd at a female sports in the world with 56,000 in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day. We have been increasing year on year, and again, great credit has to go to Tina G, and basically our National League starts this weekend, and again Tina G are covering us on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and that is huge for our sports. But you're rightly as well, we wouldn't be what we are today without Lidl as well. Lidl has been a huge sponsor for our association, and if you look at earlier this year, that basically, you know, when nobody was talking much about sports or even advertising sports, that Lidl came out with an ad, level the playing field, and basically, you know, the amount of money that they have put into our sports and the coverage that they're giving it and promoting it, and basically with Lidl with Tina G, they have built our sports and have increased our numbers and given us the PR and the promotion that we deserve, and I just couldn't thank them enough for what they've done for our association.
Yes, indeed. And Hugh, sorry, Neil, you mentioned, my sister Maria often mentions actually Hugh as well, Hugh Devaney, you mentioned him earlier. Maria, of course, had a couple of brilliant years under you as well there, and just your relationship with him and how important that was with all the success that came to you around that time in club and county.
Yes, I mean, and you're rightly, exactly. Maria was part of our backroom team in 2010 again, and, you know, the great acknowledgement, and that was, I mean, you know, that's, I say, you know, it's about the people that you put around you, because no one person, you know, will achieve all of this. But, I mean, we had a brilliant team around us in 2010, and that mean, and Maria played our role in that. Also, I mean, you know, anything that I've done and probably have achieved nearly in ladies' football, probably Hugh Devaney has been there, you know, very close to me. And that, I mean, a huge ambassador for ladies football in this county. I mean, did huge. I mean, you know, myself and Danny Dunya would be the kind of masters behind the four masters ladies starting up years ago. I mean, and, you know, Hugh Devaney has probably dedicated his life to ladies football and Donegal, and has served in an awful lot of the positions as well. And, you know, basically would be very well, you know, represented and respected in all provinces and all counties. And basically, he sits on national management with me at the moment as well, and it's great to have someone like that with you, because you always know they have your back, and that's very important, Matt, what you do in life.
Yeah, very important indeed. And tell me, Neil, you have got, is it a 5-point plan you have coming in here? Do you want to tell us your plans for the next 4 years tenure in the hot seat of the LGFA?
Yes, and that mean, Brendan, you know, I've four years. I mean, basically before this, you know, you could have done 2-3 years, but basically we changed it. Congress come back last year, and I mean that basically, you know, presidency would be for a 4-year term. I mean, so basically, yes, I'm delighted to be coming in and looking forward to the position. I mean, and looking at basically building on the foundation stones that are already in place. And you know, I have to be saying basically, you know, in my short term there, I mean, I'd have to be delighted basically that we, you know, we're getting basically the development and basically getting money for our association. And I would like to thank my party colleague, you know, Jack Chambers, basically for giving the funding, basically because it's the first time ever that ladies football has got the same funding as men, and that's a huge, you know, important thing, because ladies are given the same amount of times, they're doing the same amount of travelling and that, and you know, now they're starting to get the recognition. And you, as you said in the beginning of your report, that basically, you know, it's coming basically, you know, that ladies football is up there, you know, now it's, and getting the same coverage, the same respect that we deserve. And I want to build basically on that, looking at the promotion, get more coverage for our games. I mean, we're doing a huge lot basically in relation to integration with the Men's Association. You know, I had a call there last week with the president of the Men's Association and Tom Ryan, that looking at building, you know, and we have another meeting this week now with the whole lot of us and Camogie involved as well. And we want to build on the collaboration that has been there over the years. And, you know, we have launched basically the player pathway, you know, the coaching education. And these are giant initiatives between the GEA and the ladies association. So I want to continue building on that. As I said previously, 2020 had been a very poor year basically for everybody involved. And I know basically we lost a lot of football, but anybody that lost a loved one is worse than me, and my sympathy goes out to all the people that have lost a loved one over the year. But I mean, the one thing, the positive thing that you could take maybe from 2020 is the importance of the club, you know. And we kind of get away from that. The club, you know, structure is very important to our association. And basically I want to, you know, get basically, you know, the right balance between county player and club player, and basically, you know, give them the opportunity. And you know, we're talking about the split season, and something that would probably, you know, that we came in this year the first time ever in our fixture that we're given, you know, allocated time for the club. And I think that's very important to our association, and it's something that you will see coming forward, basically that it will be a split season. And that also, basically, from 2020, the one thing that was very positive was technology. And we all basically know about Zoom, and we all know about holding a meeting. I mean, but again, it just shows the importance. I mean, and you have to look at the glass half full and see what positives we can take out of 2020. But courses online, I mean, the numbers have increased, you know, threefold for people holding courses online. And basically, you know, again, people were travelling. Time is precious to everybody. I mean, there's a big demand on people's life. But I mean, if you can get a course sitting in your living room or your kitchen, it's very important, and that's something that we'll have to look at. It's the technology and what we can support it as well. But also then, you know, like, as I said, basically the coverage that we're getting at our association is to build basically, you know, with the media, I mean, and build a bit more like with RTE. TNG has done very well for us and it's given us coverage, but we'd like to see maybe more coverage, you know, on RTE on the Sunday the game, that I mean, for our association.
And Highland Radio as well, Neil, of course.
Exactly. Well, in fairness, Brendan, you know, the local radios have been good to us all down through the years, and that, and the local media have been very, very good. But again, we'd like to see more of it in the national media national airways. And of course, you know, as I said originally, basically 2019, you know, huge numbers in Croke Park. I want to build on that. You know, our dream would be to, you know, to fill Croke Park on All Ireland final days for ladies. You know, and that's, you know, we have to set our ambitions high. You know, we deserve that, and basically to work and make sure that happens. And you know, as I say, I mean, basically see us basically, you know, with the collaboration with the Men's Association and the memorandum of understanding, and basically find a common ground there that suits us all as one organisation in the future.
Yeah, brilliant. Neil, tell me, you're obviously councillor as well. You know, you've been mayor of Donegal. I know yourself and your good lady Annette's another wee bambino coming. You're a busy man.
Yes, I mean, you know, it's all happening at the moment. But look, I mean, you know, the most important thing, and everybody knows, I mean, your health is your wealth, and if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And, you know, thankfully, you know, that, you know, my health is very good. I mean, I believe in, you know, giving back to some of the stuff that we have that in the association. But yes, you know, we have baby Erin. I mean, well, she's not baby no more. She's coming 3 in July, and, you know, and another baby on the way, hopefully in June, everything going to plan. So yes, it's exciting times. I mean, a busy time, but look, it's a good time.
Yeah, but brilliant. Emil, listen, just your theme there before we wrap it up, you know, that certainly the huge thing, obviously, for the whole organisation in terms of progression, you know, it's all been laid out. The importance of club meal, and that's the same from the men's game as well, which has really been pushed down. It's finally starting to get the recognition and the respect it deserves, and it's only starting. There has to be so much more done, and I'm so glad you said that. Emil, just from earlier, what you were saying, just respect from all, you know, that basis we see, you know, and it's not just sport, it's all over the world at the minute. Having that respect for people, you know, and the respect of the time that's been given and all the people that's helped you on this journey, Micheál, and I just want to wish you from the crew here at Highland, we'll be giving as much coverage as we can right across the board for the ladies as well in terms of club and county, and I want to wish you all the best, Micheál, over the next 4 years. I'm sure you do a great job.
Yes, Brendan, and thank you very, very, very much. And again, to Highland and all the local media, I mean, for the coverage they have given of our association. And you're 100% right, Brendan. The club is hugely, hugely important, and we kind of get away from that. Basically, you know, the county teams, you know, they're talking about maybe 2% of our players. 98% of the players are involved in clubs. I mean, you know, and without our clubs and without the structure there, we wouldn't have county teams, we wouldn't have county players. And again, I think, you know, it's very important, because at the end of the day, everybody loves, you know, the club, their family, their friends, their neighbours that are involved in your club. They're people you grow up with all your life, and you know they always hold a special bond in your heart, no matter where you go. It's the people that start you in football, and I mean, and got you involved, and you know they do huge work, and I'm delighted a bit that I will play my part to make sure that the club is the foundation of our association, and that we give it the help and support that it requires.
No doubt you will play your part, Micheál. I have full faith in you. And listen, thanks so much for joining us this evening on the DL Debate.
Thank you very much, Brendan, and thank you to your listeners. God
thanks, Micheál. Bye now. Right, folks, that's a wrap. Thanks so much to my guests, Peter Kennevin, Martin McHugh, and Micheál Nocton. I want to thank the main man, Kenneth, for looking after me and producing the show as usual. Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex 24-hour service station, Letterkenny.